Hey everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Following Para Lumen, quote unquote, not your ordinary podcast, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Dehuko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get the show on the road.
I'm Danny, and we're back with yet another episode of this podcast, I guess. So I'm currently in the Philippines, and I don't think I'm going to be traveling anytime soon because the borders are currently closed because we're currently in the middle of a pandemic. But I don't think it's too bad because my family is here, and I've still got a bunch of friends. But for now, we are going to be having a conversation with one of my good friends, Acacia, who's all the way from Scotland. Hey, Acacia, how are you? So, what's up? It's been a long time.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think the last time we talked, I was in Morocco. Like, remember we had, like, a little video call with Melody?
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, a year ago, I think. I know. So, Acacia and I actually worked with a little devotional book together. Last year, I think? No. I think that was last year.
The beginning of 2019.
That was, like, a long time ago, but... And you're releasing a book, no? Is it, like, a poetry book?
I am currently working on a book of poetry called Waiting Spaces.
Oh, that's awesome.
Project.
That's actually awesome. Like, I don't think I'm really good at poetry. Like, I cannot do, like, poetry.
Well... But you write other stuff. You write, like, travel, you wrote a novel, or you're working on a novel?
I wrote a novel, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm actually currently looking for a literary agent, but it's proving to be, like, so much more complicated and harder than I imagined, but, I mean,
yeah, that's hopefully. Why I'm self-publishing.
Oh, well. So, I'd like to ask you a few questions, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, first of all, how is COVID-19 in Scotland? Are you guys on lockdown? Can you go out?
We're slowly easing out of it at the moment, so you're now allowed to meet up with people as long as you stay 6 feet apart and the group size is under 8.
Okay.
Which is a little hard because my family has 6 people in it, so
okay.
It's pretty limiting. And you have to wear face masks on public transport and shops and stuff.
Okay, that's not too bad, I guess. Because, like, here in the Philippines, it's not really, like, going very well, but, like, we can go out. It's just, it's being handled, like, very poorly, so I don't think I'm getting out of this country anytime soon. So, I mean, I know, but, like, we can go out, and I can visit my family, and...
That's good.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Scotland, how did you end up moving there? Did you, like, go there for school or with your family?
Good question. So, my family moved over here in 2015.
Okay.
And previous to that, my dad had been a pastor in Canada, that's where I grew up, mm-hmm. for 15 years. He was a pastor in the same church.
That's cool.
And we weren't planning on moving at all. And he had been going to summer school to get some extra training in theology and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one day during the chapel, he had this vision.
Uh-huh.
He's not really the kind of person who gets visions, you know?
Yeah.
But he had just had this vision of us leaving our church. And he was like, well, what's that doesn't, no, what? because he's not really a supervision person, and it was a really weird idea. And over the next 2 weeks, God very clearly said that we were supposed to be moving back to Scotland in different ways. By giving my parents peace about it, my mom actually is from Scotland, and she had actually been praying about coming back here, but just hadn't told my dad because she was like, God, if you want us to move back, you have to tell him yourself.
Yeah, I could imagine that being hard.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that your mom's from Scotland. But that's cool, no? So you have family over there.
I do. My grandma and my mom's mother.
That's so cool. Yeah. Always wanted to go to Scotland. Maybe I'll visit you someday. When this pandemic is over, for sure.
Yes. Come visit.
I was actually supposed to be in the UK in Cornwall for a wedding in October. But they canceled, so...
Oh, sad. What happened to their wedding?
I know, they're moving it next year.
Oh, that's brutal.
I know, but I mean, I haven't booked any flight yet, so I think that's not too bad. So, when we were talking a few weeks ago, you mentioned fire starters.
Yes.
So, will you tell us more about it?
I would love to.
Awesome.
So, Firestarters is a youth organization, and the tagline is, "A generation set on fire for Jesus to be sparks of revival."
Awesome.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And so, it's about 60 to 70 youth from all over Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And once a month, we'll get together at a church for the entire weekend. We'll stay at the church and do outreach in that area. We'll worship in that area,
mm-hmm.
and basically bless that community in whatever ways we can, whether it's by doing like a face painting fair or handing out hot chocolate or going on the streets and praying for people.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, super cool. It's been such, I think I joined it 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's been incredible. They're so good at raising up young leaders to serve in the church,
mm-hmm.
and engaging with young people's gifts and listening to the voice of God, which I think is super important.
For sure. So is this like an organization that's from your church, or how did you end up joining or hearing about it?
It's not exactly part of any one church. We're from
okay.
a whole bunch of different churches.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Across the UK. Yeah.
I think it's really important to like have a group of people that will hold you like accountable, you know,
mm-hmm.
with your walk with God.
Yes. For sure.
Yeah, I think right
especially
now
people who aren't judgmental, I think.
Exactly, for sure. Right now I'm actually looking for like a group of women or like that can hold me like accountable and like hold each other accountable, because like I attend this church in New York, but like I only attend it like every time I'm in New York. So most of the time I'm like on the road, so it can be like pretty hard to keep up. But every Sunday, so I listen to like their sermon via YouTube, and but right now it's really hard, so I'm trying to engage in different like groups and stuff like that. But I was actually thinking of like messaging friends and being like, hey, do you want to start like a girls group or like Bible study group? But it's something that I should like really think about, because it's not like that easy. Like, you can't just do it on a whim, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's intentional about it. It's hard, though.
I know.
Especially, like, what's the church like in the Philippines there?
Well, I was actually part of this church called Victory, but they changed their name now to Every Nation. And I've been attending that same church ever since I was, like, in kids' church, but I kind of left because, I don't know, I'm not speaking bad about the church or anything, but I feel like I've outgrown it. Like the visions of that church weren't exactly the same as my visions for how my walk with God is supposed to pan out, I think. And at the same time, I was moving to New York, so I think it was like the perfect time to leave that church and find another one. But it's solely similar to churches in North America, because it was actually founded by a missionary from the U.S., so it's closely similar, I think.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and actually when my ex-boyfriend from Canada came here, he was like, oh, this is just like the churches like that we go to in Canada. I was like, yeah, I think so.
That's so cool.
Yeah. How do you think young people should start using their gifts for God?
I think it's really important for young people to use their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I think we live in such a culture that sends really mixed messages to
of
young
course.
People.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you need to be yourself, you need to do the best you can, and you're also not actually given responsibilities.
Yeah.
Or you're put in places where people are telling you you have to make all these adult decisions for your life before you really know what you're doing, and at the same time you're not necessarily given the same respect.
Mm-hmm.
As adults. And I actually think that the Bible would have a very different message because of how much God used young people
exactly.
who were pursuing God. And so I think for young people to have the opportunity to step up and lead, whether that be leading worship or writing a devotional like we did, or
mm-hmm.
using their gifts to mentor people or joining in things in their community, I think when young people are given the ability to lead things, but also given like mentorship and accountability and people who who say, maybe you could do this a little bit differently, or I really like how you did this, or let's think through how you could put this thing together. I think that is so helpful because it means that you're held accountable to your actions, and it also means that you're using your gifts for God. So, for example, my dad has been really good at doing that with me and my brother, because obviously at the moment church is online, which has been an exciting adventure of technology breaking all the time. He's been super good with getting us to lead worship, and for my brother, he has a YouTube channel, and so he's kind of taken over the tech side of church. And my dad's been really good at, like, encouraging him to use his gifts for that, but also being like, oh, I think this stuff could be done a little bit differently. So it's really good for balancing out lesson people and also helping them grow.
That's awesome. Like, who would have thought that we can just attend Sunday service, like, in the comforts of our own home, like...
Yeah. I don't even know who's going to want to go back afterwards. I can't bother getting up.
But, I mean, at the same time, there's also something, like, sort of magical about being in, like, a congregation and, like, worshipping God together, you know? Like, there's something, like, really special about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I've really missed worshipping with people.
I know.
Especially because I've just been watching myself lead worship, so it's not great.
Do you sing as well?
I do sing, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so cool. Like, do you like, lead worship with, like, your family, or?
Yeah, I do. Me and my dad play together a lot.
That's cool. So you're from Canada, and then you moved to Scotland. Do you think that you'll ever consider mission or, like, reach out trips in other countries?
I do, actually. It's something I'm working towards.
Is there, like, a specific place?
I've traveled around a bit, not tons of 17, so I'm still full of education. But I love traveling to Hong Kong and to Latvia and England and Wales and Canada and the U.S.
That's awesome.
My dream is to start a nursing school somewhere. I don't quite know where yet.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking about Ghana.
Really?
Because I think when you go into a place and teach them how to help the community, you do so much more than just going in and helping the community.
Exactly. I think you're, like, you're also, like, putting down roots in that specific place that you're going to be sent out to. And I think you should really, like, pray for it. You should really ask God, like, where he wants you to go. Because you can't just, like, point a country and be like, yeah, I'm going there. And then when you get there, be like, what am I going to do here?
Yep. So true. It's something I've learned with our move over here is if God wants it to happen, then he'll provide for it.
Exactly.
And if he doesn't, then he won't.
I know.
That's
like, I've moved to, like, different places just completely on a whim. And then when I got there, it's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but then it really varies on, like, when you actually, like, pray for it and God says yes, and then you feel like you actually do have a purpose in that place, and it's actually, like, you get so much more things done, and that's awesome.
That's so true.
I do want to do a reach out, like, a mission trip, but I just don't know where yet, so maybe I'll pray more about it.
Yes, I was just saying, we had a really interesting situation a couple of years ago because my dad is the only person in my family who has not British citizenship.
Really?
And so he had to reapply for his visa because my mom is British, so we all have dual.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be pretty jazzy. he applied in September. He applied in July, actually, for his visa to study in September, and it got rejected, so he wasn't sure if he was going to get kicked out.
Okay.
Which was special. And then we waited, he appealed it, it got rejected again, and so he applied for a different visa. And so we had this period of about 6 months of living here where we weren't sure if we were going to be kicked out of the country, basically. Which was hard because we didn't know if we should prepare ourselves to leave or prepare ourselves to stay. And that was such a big thing for me to trust God with. And then at the end, I think in March, he ended up getting a different visa than the one he applied for at first. And we found out a couple months after that if he had gotten the one he applied for originally, he would no longer be allowed to work here because they suddenly changed the regulations on it.
No way.
And it was like, yeah. So it was definitely God being like, no, you just didn't know this was going to happen, but I'm going to come for you guys.
Oh, that's so awesome. Because, like, I think when setbacks happen and then you get upset, but then God really shows you, like, the bigger picture. And then you're like, oh, so that's why it didn't work out. Yes. I feel like that's happened to me, like, quite a bunch of times.
Yeah? Like what?
Well, speaking of visas, I actually got denied a Canadian visa, like, 3 times. Just for, like, tourism purposes. But then I mainly wanted to get there because my ex-boyfriend was there. And his family wanted me to come over there for a bit. And then because, like, a few months prior, he had come and met my parents here in the Philippines. And then he's been to New York visiting me. And then his parents actually also came to New York to meet me. And then he was like, now it's your turn to come visit. And I was like, yo, I'm trying. Like, yeah. I literally, like, tried 3 times. And then I was like, why is this happening? I don't know. And then in the end, it actually turned out that the relationship was not going to work out.
Wow.
And then God was like, yeah, I'm just, like, preparing you because I know that it's not going to work out. So, I wanted you to just stay where you are. And actually, if it had worked out, I was thinking of, like, moving to Canada. And if that worked out, I would not have had the experience of living in Latin America and reaching out to, like, the friends that I've made. And
wow.
I don't know. It just, like, all works out, really. Because, like, when I was in Mexico, I was like, yo, imagine if I was in Canada right now. Like, I wouldn't have met, like, all these amazing people.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It totally got flipped, eh?
I know. So, like, from heartbreak to breakthrough, actually. So, it worked
that's
out.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of Canada, when are you planning on going back to, like, visit? Or are you guys wanting to move back? Or
I was back last summer to work at a summer camp called Camp Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Camp Bob. It's one of my favorite places in the world. but I don't know when we'll be going back.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it's one of those things, I don't know if you feel about this, like, with the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you back there now?
Well, I'm here for the meantime. I mean...
I'm going to go back and visit, but to actually, like, go back.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, because, like, I think it's pretty weird for me, because when I was growing up here in the Philippines, I knew that this is not where I want to live. I don't know, like, I know from an early age that I would want to move somewhere else. It's just,
wow.
I've always thought that I wanted to live in New York, and then I did that, and then New York kind of just, like, it wasn't as exciting anymore, and then, because it was so busy. And now, I mean, like, I'm a little bit older, and I feel like I just want to live somewhere, like, more quiet. And so I don't know where yet. So I feel like if I end up being in that place, I'll know for sure that it's there. But for now, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty weird. I still haven't figured out where I want to move to yet, so we'll see.
Right.
So, anyway, tell me about your upcoming book. Like, give us details.
I have a book coming out, which is so exciting.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's called Waiting Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book of poetry, kind of around the idea of waiting and on redemption. Because I've noticed so much in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so busy. It's kind of like what you said about New York. Like, everything just goes and goes.
Yeah.
And when I'm not doing something, I feel like I'm not, it's almost not worthwhile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to be busy, and I have to be constantly learning new things.
Yeah.
To be somebody who's useful to society, which is not true.
No, yeah.
And so, it's kind of a book of political letters that I wrote to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Back a couple of years ago, I did this challenge where I tried to write for somebody every day.
Okay.
So I wrote, like, a poem to somebody every day, and so
no
a lot
way.
Of things came out of that. It's slightly changed since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's kind of that kind of thing. I can read one of them to you if you'd like.
Yes, of course. That would be fun.
Awesome. This is one that I wrote when I went back to Skye, which is an island at the top of Scotland where we lived for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a super weird realization of going back to this place that I used to live and being like, oh, I have to, like, go on this thing, my home. This is where that one came from.
Okay.
It's called cherished places and new seasons. Bittersweet sunset meets the horizon, and I realize it's time to move away. Sunsets fade, and so do memories. Revisiting this place means remembering not only the things that I wish I could forget, but also letting myself see the good. I'm not sure which hurts worse, never seeing beauty or never forgetting it, never letting it wash over your soul and ease your tired mind, or lying awake every night wishing that you could go back. They say that everything comes in time, but the longer that you watch the sunset, the more its colors subtly blend and bend and mend themselves from one seamless skyline to another. Soon you can't tell them apart from each other, it's gone, and we say that this explosion of color has become less. Less entrancing, more mess, something that takes more steps to find the allure and the peace and the rest. Why do we expect big experiences to be the most gratifying? Maybe, as this sunset fades, from beauty and fire to the end of the day, you'll find deep hues of blue and small specks of light. It's bittersweet for old things to dim, but this time of night has its own glory.
That's so cool.
Thank you. So that's available for pre-order on the 31st.
Mm-hmm. Yay! So I'm gonna list down like the details for your book, and awesome. Do you have any other announcements? Where can we find you and more of your work?
Fantastic! So you can find more of my work on my blog, which is thoughtsfromatree.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my Instagram for poetry, which is Acacia Writes Poems.
Awesome! So I'm gonna be listing down all of Acacia's info on the description box, and thank you so much for joining me today. I had so
Thank
much
you
fun.
So much for doing this. This was fun.
Yes, I hope you had a great time.
I did. Plus the car in the background.
I know. It's so loud in here, but whatever. I think it adds to the vibe.
It does. Totally.
Thanks again.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.